our first action when the launch date was set, you know, by the international agreement that this is going to be the launch date for, you know, XR United States. It fell on the Comic-Con, was in Frankfurt. So we went to the Comic-Con. We dressed up all crazy. We gave out these Declaration of the Rebellion that's, like, straight out of Star Wars. And then, like, read it and tied it in with Extinction Rebellion. It was really, like, friendly, media-friendly, but just friendly. And then made a concerted Facebook strategy and built this page out of nothing. You know, there were, like, four of us. Now there's a page. Now there's 2,000 actions every, what, a month? I'm fuzzy on my how those Facebook statistics are. But, you know, it's really taken off. It's a busy page. Okay, so everyone's reading. People like articles about solutions that are like, look how Scotland's going 100% renewable by 2021. This is possible. I mean, that's what people like to hear. Well, some group of people is interested in all the stories of mutual aid, how we can create a new economy where people work together and support each other in the wake of disasters, or like stuff from resilience.org. That's easy. The next step is to get people physically out in the streets or out on a train track if you're the Black Jewel people. It's easier for people whose paychecks are endangered than people who aren't. And it's hard to get people to participate. It's changing. The Louisville group is having a lot of fun, starting to know each other really well, starting to do things with a lot of regularity, showing up at Metro Council every time. And that steadiness is building a strong community there. Down in Berea, or outside of Berea, there's a big, sturdy, back-to-the-land community that I've known for years. You know, they're sort of like participating in their way, but it's sort of like separate from this like political direct action or sort of like cultural, countercultural work in the mainstream. But I've got a friend who's in a DJ. She's got DJ background. She's just graduating from UK. And she's working with me. She's working with Divest Ed and Divest UK. The divestment movement in U of L and in Western Kentucky is strong, and the Student Environmental Coalition is really focused on divestment. And of course, so is Stop the Money Pipeline, which is looking at Chase and McKibben and a bunch of other high profile people in this movement are really focused on finance. So there's like that thread is active, especially in the universities. But we're looking to make a party atmosphere at Earth Day. So we've got plans in the works for Lexington. It's on 420. And it's in the Coal Preparation Society is having their big tech, pro tech 2020 coal conference, industry conference in Lexington. And so we want to have like a counter narrative, you know, in the street, and it's going to be fun. And I think that it's going to draw a lot of people. I think we've got a good crew starting to organize towards it. And so I'm really looking forward to activate Lexington and tie in with existing groups. And that's the work that I do. It's not so much that like Extinction Rebellion has a whole bunch of people who have like rallied to that name, although the handful of people who have are really righteous and committed, like especially the, you know, some of those just great people that I've met up in Louisville through this experience. But I think that there's a good network of people who really care about their community and about the people in it. We're going to have a lot of fun in Earth Week because people are pretty fed up. People are pretty broadly convinced that the government and industry is not our friend in a way that I think is stronger than ever. Even among people, say, who backed Trump in 2016, say. I'm reading all these threads and conversations, you know, of people who are like, feeling sold out by him, same as anybody else. They had that sort of like populist movement, like, this is going to be different. And they were like, oh, it wasn't. And so it's just a good moment.
Alice, I really like the point that you made, that whether or not you're affiliated with Extinction Rebellion or super dedicated to Extinction Rebellion, there are people all over the place that are networking together from these various groups, including like Sunrise Movement or just acting on their own, that want to see change happen. And then you brought up people who are feeling abandoned by Trump, Kentucky obviously being a red state in 2016.
There's still like a good old boys network that like thinks McConnell's the bomb because he makes us strong in Washington and they like to be powerful and he makes them feel powerful. And like there's a bunch of, you know, confused people by my read. But there's a lot of people who aren't confused, too.
What do you think the political climate is like in Kentucky leading up to the primaries in 2020 and leading up to the election?
I don't know. I see a lot of pro-veteran stuff for McGrath. I think that McConnell's nervous, more nervous than he's probably ever been about an upcoming election. I don't know. Now, you know, with Booker getting in to the race, you know, from my point of view, McGrath built a really strong organization running against Barr. She almost beat him and moved the, you know, red to blue proportion like 12 points or something. And Booker's new to me, and like I know that he's got a really good, you know, statement about climate and about other things. I hope that the primaries makes both of them stronger politically.
So you said that Lexington had declared a climate emergency. Are there any...
No, Louisville did.
Oh, sorry. Louisville declared a climate emergency. Are there any local candidates or state candidates that are running on climate change?
Not that I'm aware. I mean, I know, like I said, Sunrise is backing Booker against McConnell over McGrath, saying that he's the strong, you know, saying the strong right things about climate and that she's not. I haven't heard her fail to. I spoke to her at length back when she was running against Barr about nuclear policy as a combat vet and somebody in the Air Force. And it was really heartening to talk to a politician who had, you know, deep knowledge about some of the dangers facing us and intention and seemed like capability to make useful changes towards a less insane policy. But as far as people running on climate, no, like that's not a thing here that I know of.
So we've got time for just one more question, and it's kind of a two-parter, but one is the media. Do you see the media in Kentucky, the local media, covering climate change? Is there a conversation about it happening in the media? And then in the culture, is there a conversation about permaculture, about reducing our waste, about any of these things? What's that like?
In mainstream media, I would say it's basically non-existent. In terms of recognizing that there's something going on in the just broader population, I think that there's a lot of people who will say things like, I think it's the end times. Like, people feel like things are moving. And dramatically so. People, you know, noticing the weather, but it's going deeper than that. In among people, there's more conversation certainly than there is on broadcast news channels or something like that, your morning shows, which I only catch like here and there, but I do investigate them from time to time. And yeah, there's nothing. It's embarrassing. It's depressing, but it is what it is. But in the broader culture, like I said, I'm like reading on these forums with the coal miners and they're like, coal's not coming back. Climate change is real. Like there's a big population who's saying that there and then saying what next? It's got to work economically and sort of like nothing is working in Eastern Kentucky economically. Like these real small scale entrepreneurial projects are real And I like Andrew Yang because he's talking about guaranteed income, which allows people to experiment and feel like you can try to do a turn a side hustle into a bigger part of your business and life without starving or losing your house. Because, like, that's where most people are. This whole, you know, most of America is just one paycheck away from not being able to pay their bills or whatever. I mean, my neighborhood, like, everyone's already there. Like, people are just trying to get cigarette money. Like, it's so if you had a baseline income and you had insurance and you weren't scared about that, then people could, like, feel a little more safe to consider massive transformations in our economic system.
This has been Alice Melendez of Extinction Rebellion Kentucky, and for Hudson Mohawk Magazine, I'm Alexis Goldsmith.